Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour, reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. The husband of a woman who was reported missing in the Bahamas after going overboard on a dinghy has been arrested, according to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Lynette Hooker, 55, of Onsted, Michigan, and her husband, Brian Hooker, 58, had departed Hopetown on the Abaco Islands for Elbow Cay around 7:30 on Saturday, according to the Royal Bahamas Police Force. The couple was en route to their yacht when bad weather caused Lynette Hooker to fall overboard, her husband told authorities. Brian Hooker was arrested Wednesday evening and was being questioned in connection with his wife's disappearance. According to police, no further details were released. According to his attorney, Brian Hooker has been cooperating with the relevant authorities as part of an ongoing investigation. Columbia Township Police say no charges will be filed after a firearm incident at Columbia Lower Elementary School. Police were called March 24th after a parent dropping off a child accidentally dropped a gun in the school parking lot. Investigators say the firearm fell from a vehicle when the door was opened and was never brought inside the building. The parent is a valid concealed pistol license holder and was legally on school property. Police say the individual was cooperative and remorseful. After reviewing the case, the Jackson County prosecutor declined charges, saying the incident did not violate the intent of the law. Officials say the situation serves as a reminder of the importance of safe and secure firearm handling. A body was found north of Lansing. Police and fire crews worked to recover the body from the Grand River in Old Town Thursday afternoon. No details about their identity have been released, and it's too early to tell the circumstances surrounding the death. Lifeway's subcommittee has recommended withdrawing a Hillsdale County bond request for construction of a new building. More from WKHM's Luke Moorhead.
The Lifeways Program and Finance Board has officially recommended that the full Lifeways Board withdraw a $15.5 million Hillsdale County bond request for a new building following a vote that took place on Tuesday evening. Hillsdale County residents have been pushing for the bond to be placed on the ballot for months, citing concerns that if Lifeways falters financially on the bond, the burden would fall on the taxpayers. Hillsdale County Board of Commissioners Chair and Lifeways Board Chair Mark Wiley, who previously voted in opposition of a resolution that would place the issue on the ballot, changed his tune, saying it was time to pull the plug on the proposal. Wiley also seconded the motion to recommend the withdrawal that was made by board member Ed Woods. Board member Earl Pileski gave the lone no vote, stating that the county bond should be considered as an option until another funding source for a new building in Hillsdale is secured. The full Lifeways board could make a decision on whether or not to withdraw the proposal at their meeting on April 15th. Reporting with WKHM, I'm Luke Morgan. Moorhead.
Michigan State Police have taken a man into custody in connection with a major counterfeit operation. The story comes our way from Michigan News Network's Kyle Kimball.
Fifth Matthew Wilson of Grand Rapids has been charged with five felonies in connection with printing fake money. He allegedly was involved in interstate criminal activity, including manufacturing more than $30,000 in counterfeit currency. According to police, Wilson committed similar crimes in 14 other states. He was arraigned on April 6th in 85th District Court, receiving a $250,000 cash surety bond. Wilson is due back in court on April 20th.
Kyle Kimball, the Michigan News Network.
School bus crash in Huron Township left multiple students hurt after part of the road collapsed yesterday morning.
The driver was attempting to avoid large potholes when the roadway collapsed, sending the bus into a ditch. Multiple students were on board at the time of the crash. Police say three students suffered minor injuries and were checked by medical crews at the scene. All students were either released to their parents or taken to school on another bus. Investigators say that the driver does not appear to be at fault. Jeremy Jenkins, Michigan News Network.
A new women in the Michigan workforce reports shows women make up half of the state's workforce, but still earn about 79 cents for every dollar earned by men. Stephanie Beckhorn with Michigan's Labor and Economic Opportunity Department says childcare is a huge issue.
For women who have any children under the age of 5, their labor force participation rate is 73%. Men, similarly, who have children under the age of 5, 95%.
She says they're working on training for women.
We're working with direct care workers, medical assistants, surgical techs, and standing up registered apprenticeship programs with employers that a worker can go and move on and up the program, even into nursing programs, advanced surgical tech, getting into the operating rooms.
Beckhorn says they're also looking to expand their TriShare program to help women pay for childcare. She says the employer pays a third, the employee pays a third, and the state pays a third. Tickets and time slot registrations now open for the 2026 Fairy Festival at the Jackson School of the Arts, now in its 19th year and coinciding with JSA's 25th anniversary. The Fairy Festival serves as the organization's largest annual fundraiser. Executive Director Amanda Loveland emphasizes the importance of how the money raised during the Fairy Festival helps kids be able to attend JSA that would not be able to otherwise.
So first and foremost, your listeners, I think what's really important that they know is Fairy Festival is up until last year, it makes enough money to pay every dollar towards tuition assistance for students who come to Jackson School of the Arts, who can't afford it and need that assistance in order to get arts education. And so that's incredible that in five hours, we essentially make, you know, close to $100,000 to say yes all year long. That is incredible.
This year's festival will feature several new elements designed to enhance the guest experience. Amanda gave us some insight as to what will be featured.
It is an event. You can buy tickets to it. And it is a three-story building transformed into a fairy land. There's a room that's a castle block room where you can walk in and build life-size castles for your 3 to 8-year-old, you know? And then there's fairy princesses and every princess from every movie that children have ever loved in the building, and face painting, and there's unicorn rides, and there's a bounce house, and there's Cupcake Cafe where, you know, Spider-Man is the cupcake to get, man. And it's included in your ticket. That's what we've learned. Yep. We got enough Spider-Man cupcakes.
If you have a little one who would love to visit the JSA on April 18th for the Fairy Festival, you can nab a time that works for you for a cheaper price by registering now rather than later.
JacksonArts.org/fairy. If you get your tickets early, they're $23 for a child and $5 for an adult. If you arrive at the door, we cannot guarantee your entry at the time you've arrived, and the price does increase to $30 per child and then $5 per adult. So I recommend you grab your time slot now, because it is a very magical experience with lots of fairies, lots of princesses. Spider-Man sometimes makes an appearance, I promise. And there are just so many fun things to do. You could spend an entire day in downtown Jackson experiencing a very magical three-story building. So come join us, jacksonarts.org/fairy.
Tickets are limited, and the JSA officials expect them to sell out. Jackson College's Jazzy Jets Drumline and Community Concert Band are uniting for a free spring concert April 14th, 7 o'clock at the Potter Center. The upbeat collaboration promises a lively and diverse program designed to put a spring in your step, featuring music from New Orleans jazz, 1930s standards, Latin America dance styles, concert band classics, movie music, and opera staples made famous by Bugs Bunny cartoons, along with a generous dose of Stevie Wonder. Jackson College's musical ensembles bring together college students and community members, creating an inclusive and dynamic performance experience. Concert Band and Jazzy Jets are directed by Dan Bickle, Director of Instrumental Activities and Music Professor at Jackson College, while the Jackson College Drumline is directed by instructor Benjamin Crockett. Dan Bickle says the concert will showcase a wide range of musical styles and is a celebration of music as something that brings people together. Concert is free and open to the public with no registration needed. With the 2026 Masters Tournament underway at the Augusta National Golf Club, the first Golf for You seminar of the year is in Jackson and is happening on Saturday with the Masters Party beginning at 11. PGA Pro Ed Mitchell is conducting the seminar, and he told us how the event brings a chunk of Augusta to Jackson with the Sharp Park Golf Course Clubhouse Simulators.
What it is we've been doing these Golf For You seminars every year. At this time, we do it for the Masters, we do it for the PGA Championship, and also for the U.S. Open in June. And this Saturday, we've got a hole-in-one closest to the pin contest using the number 12 hole, the Golden Bell from Augusta National, on the simulators. So anybody would like to take a shot at trying to get close to the pin on playing the number 12 hole at Augusta, you see how it is, come on out. We'd love to have you enter our event and give us a shot.
Ed provided a breakdown as to why this specific part of the course was chosen for their closest to the hole contest.
Well, it has a long history of winning and losing the Masters on that
okay.
hole. It's a relatively short hole. It's got some water in front of it, Rays Creek. The way the green sets, the wind swirls behind it with the trees and the embankment behind it. So it's very difficult with a narrow depth of the green. It's very difficult for the players to judge the distance. So when it comes Sunday afternoon, some of us remember when Freddie Couples won the Masters and hit his shot and it came up short and it rolled down the bank. But fortunately, they had let the grass grow, and it stopped short of rolling into the water. So since then, they mow that little tighter, and the ball always rolls into the water.
Hole 12 isn't the only Augusta replication that will be present, as the Masters Party will also feature a lunch with authentic Masters food options.
The whole theme is around the Hall of Fame, Jackson Golf Hall of Fame. We are in support, doing this for the support of the scholarship fund that they have. So there is a fee to come out, but we give you a seminar on the history of golf this time around. When it came to Jackson, when Clara Carter started the first nine-hole golf course out at Wisner and Ganson, and then the hole-in-one contest, and then the Masters food lunch right afterwards. We actually have the authentic food that's been flown in. Pimento cheese sandwich, egg salad sandwich, barbecue, souvenirs, and everybody goes home with something to remember the Masters from.
Cost us $30 at the event, with proceeds going to the Jackson Golf Hall of Fame Scholarship Fund. For more info, email edmitchell@pga.com. You can also call or text 517-917-6220. That's 517-917-6220. Forever chemicals may be messing with your immune system.
The latest study from Michigan State University found exposure to PFAS all across Michigan, some spots worse than others, but these human-made chemicals are used in products ranging from nonstick cookware and stain-resistant fabrics to firefighting foams, making their way into the groundwater, and if you unknowingly drink some of it, it's having a negative effect on your immune system.
I think you can know some good news that some of these chemicals, including the one that we were studying, were phased out of use about over a decade ago. And so levels in the general population have been coming down over time. There's been a focus on testing and treating drinking water, because if you do have these chemicals in your drinking water, it's a pretty big source of your exposure.
Researcher Courtney Kerrigan said they found the effect was strongest among older adults, men, and people who are overweight. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
A couple state representatives visited with students at a UP high school Thursday for an issue that's going to affect students statewide. Radio Results Network's Caleb Gordon was there.
Carl Bonack met with Nagani High School students Thursday discussing a new law which bans cell phone use in public schools.
You keep them in your lockers. You can take them out during lunch hour, but that's it.
He was joined by the bill's sponsor, Representative Mark Tisdale of Rochester Hills, who says the state needed to take action.
If you're going to wait for 537 local school districts to design, implement, and actively enforce a cell phone policy, you could be waiting a long time.
And he says
it removes that burden from the school districts, from the principals, from the teachers being the bad guy. Now Representative Tisdale can be the bad guy.
The law, which saw bipartisan support, will take effect this upcoming school year. For the Michigan News Network, I'm Caleb Gordon.
The world will be watching as Artemis 2 re-enters the atmosphere tonight. The crew is now homeward bound after breaking the record for the furthest humans have ever traveled from Earth. It's the first space mission to the moon since the early 70s. Michael Norlock, head of astronomy at Cranbrook Institute of Science, said They won't be in space long enough to feel the physical effects, but a lack of gravity for long-term astronauts can cause serious trouble.
Calcium will seep out of your bones, and that can result in hypocalcemia, which can be deadly. So one of the ways long-term astronauts who are in space for a long time, they do exercises that put stresses and strains on their skeleton so that the calcium stays within the bone. It will probably be a bit disorienting when they first land.
The crew is slated to splash down off the coast of San Diego around 8 o'clock tonight.
This is the most dangerous time for the astronauts that they have left in the mission. Because the spacecraft is traveling at around 25,000 miles an hour, it's going to hit our atmosphere, which is going to help break their speed. But as it does that, there's a heat shield on Artemis that's going to heat up to about 5,000 degrees or so.
The 2026 Masters Tournament kicked off yesterday at the Augusta National Golf Club at a time when a lot of amateur golfers in Michigan will be hitting the links with warmer weather. Michigan News Network's Beth Fisher reports that golf season can come with some injuries.
It's like any sport. If you try to do too much too soon, you'll probably get hurt. Dr. Mike Youssef is a sports medicine orthopedic surgeon with the Center for Advanced Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and says many go from a sedentary lifestyle in the winter to trying to go full bore come spring.
Inflammation of the rotator cuff and the muscles around the shoulder, especially with the amount of rotation and force that goes through the shoulder, that can lead to inflammation. And then as far as the low back, there's a lot of twisting that goes through the low back. And when people have a weak core and maybe a back that's not as strong as it should be, we see a lot of just generalized low back pain.
Youssef recommends warming up before golfing. Beth Fisher, Michigan News Network.
Be careful out there. Celebration is not even over yet for the Michigan Wolverines after their national championship, but the city of Detroit is already gearing up to host the Final Four tournament next April. The year-long Fan Jam Tour kicked off yesterday in downtown Detroit. It's a mobile promotional display that plans to hit all of Michigan's 83 counties over the next year. The events are expected to bring an estimated $400 million and 100,000 visitors to the city. Here's Detroit's Mayor Mary Sheffield.
We are committed to making this a full city celebration, one that reflects the energy, the pride, and the resilience of Detroiters. As we prepare for the Final Four, we are also thinking beyond the tournament about how this moment can drive long-term opportunity for our city, support our local economy, and continue to build national and international momentum for Detroit.
The events will include three basketball games at Ford Field, concerts, and a fan fest convention at Huntington Place. It's Friday, and it's already the 10th day of April. Far out, man. And today we celebrate American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Day. It's Encourage a Young Writer Day. You can do it. Write that. It's Golfers Day, of course. National Cinnamon Croissant Day. Or crescent, I guess, however, wherever you want to put the emphasis. It's National Farm Animals Day. It's International Safety Pin Day. And it's Siblings Day. It was on this date in 1847. American newspaper man Joseph Pulitzer was born in Hungary. It was on this date in 1866. The American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals was incorporated. On the date in 1912, the RMS Titanic set sail from Southampton, England on its ill-fated maiden voyage. It was on the date in 1925, F. Scott Fitzgerald's novel The Great Gatsby was first published. On the date in 1932, Adolf Hitler lost the German presidential election to Paul von Hindenburg. On the state in 1953, the first color 3D movie, House of Wax, opened in New York. On the state in 1992, comedian Sam Kinison was killed when a pickup truck slammed into his car on a desert road between L.A. and Las Vegas. It was on the state in 2012, Apple Inc. claimed that it had a $600 billion valuation, making it the largest company in the world. But let's go back to 2000 real quick. It was on this date in 2000, Sony Music announced plans to offer its first digital downloads to consumers. On this date in 2016, more than 100 worshippers were killed in a fireworks mishap at a Kerala temple in India. And it was on this date in 2021, China ordered Alibaba pay a record fine of 18.2 billion yen after antitrust regulations said it was acting as a monopoly. China, monopoly. Okay. Birthdays today include Daisy Ridley is 34, actress, Star Wars, Force Awakens, Last Jedi. Haley Joel Osment is 38 today. The little kid from the sixth, the kid who saw dead people is 38 today. Shay Mitchell is 39, actress from Pretty Little Liars. Mandy Moore, singer, actress, is 42 today. You have Michael Pitt, 45, actor, Boardwalk Empire, again, 45 today. Charlie Hunan is 46, actor, Pacific Rim, Triple Frontier, Jax from Sons of Anarchy, David Harbour, 51, actor, Stranger Things, Black Widow, DTF St. Louis, pretty good binge there if you haven't caught it yet. I think they've got one more episode to drop. Orlando Jones, 58, actor, Drumline, Sleepy Hollow, American Gods. Steven Seagal is 74 today, actor, Marked for Death, Hard to Kill. Omar Sharif would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2015, actor from Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago, Top Secret. Their birthdays today include Sophie Ellis Baxter is 47 today, singer, Murder on the Dance Floor. Q-Tip, he's a rapper. He is 56 today. Mike Mushock is 56, guitarist from Stained. Tim Herb Alexander, drummer from Primus, 61 today. Brian Setzer has a birthday. Brian Setzer is 67, singer, guitarist, Stray Cats, Brian Setzer Orchestra. Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. You better come inside, let me teach you how to jive and wail. Oh, you gotta jump, jive, bend your way, you gotta jump, jive, bend your way, you gotta jump, jive, bend your way. Babyface has a birthday today. The singer-producer is 67 today. Robert Bobby Smith from The Spinners would have had a birthday today. Passed away in 2013. Nate Nelson from The Platters passed away in 1984. Would have had a birthday today. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly. Mama's in the backyard learning how to jive and wail. Oh, you gotta jump, jive, bend your way, 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 the way. I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast. We are going to start with hockey this morning. The top-ranked Michigan Hockey Wolverines saw their season come to a heartbreaking end in the Frozen Four semifinals, falling 4-3 in double overtime to Denver in Las Vegas. The Wolverines dominated play late, outshooting the Pioneers 22-8 in overtime and finishing with a 52-26 edge overall. But Denver capitalized when it mattered most, scoring the game winner midway through the second overtime. TJ Hughes scored in the first period, finishing his career with 179 points. Jaden Perron added a power play goal in the third to give Michigan a late lead. After Denver tied it with under 3 minutes left in regulation, both teams battled through a scoreless first overtime before the Pioneers ended it in the fifth period. Michigan closes the year just short of the Natty after a dominant tournament run. So the Wolverines and the national hockey scene, they are done for the year. We actually will carry Denver versus, was it Wisconsin? That contest is going to be tomorrow
We'll have that for you down the hall to the left on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. All right, on to Detroit Hockey Red Wings. As the Wings picked up a massive win last night in convincing fashion over the Flyers, 6-3 at Little Caesars Arena. Dylan Larkin had a hat trick. Let's get the highlights for you. Let's start off with DeBrincat. Got the Wings on the board. First power play goal in the first.
Raymond stick candles with a puck. Got it down low. Backhand drive by DeBrincat. He scores. There's goal number 40. A quick backhander by Alex DeBrincat. And it's 1-0 Detroit.
So Philly then would tie it up in the first. And then, Mo, he finds the back of the net.
Here's Seider now rolling it to the right circle. Kane, Sherrod is back on. Now a shot by Seider. He scores from the top of the right circle. He just blew it by Vladar. Quick power play goal. Wings in front, 2-1.
Larkin gets a power play goal. This is in the second. Wings are up, 3-1.
Kane surveying the ice. Down low. Larkin cuts in front. He scores. Quick power play goals. Red Wings lead 3-1.
And Larkin, shorthanded goal again in the second. This is the second of the night. The Wings are up 4-1.
Forster with a feed across. Oh. Broken up by Johansson. Now the Wings come back on a 2-on-1. Larkin over the line. Makes his way in. He shoots. He scores! His second goal of the period. It's a shorthanded tally in the Red Wings lead 4-1.
Philly would take advantage. They would have a power play goal in the second. That makes it 4-2. And then Kane gets it between the pipes in the third. Wings up 5-2.
Kane to the line. Seider over to the left wing. Edmondson with a pass across. What a beauty pass that was. And Kane fires it in to make it 5-2 Detroit.
Larkin completes the hat trick in the third, 6-2 Wings.
Seider to Larkin, he scores! And there's the hat trick for Dylan Larkin. And here come the hats cascading down from the stands at Little Caesars Arena. What a night for Dylan Larkin.
You know, if you're there and you're throwing your hat on the... Do you get it back? Or are you done with it at that point? I mean... I don't know how that happens, but all right, Philly would put another goal up on the board, and that's where we would end 6-3 in regulation, and Red Wings win. Red Wings win. Still, they're 3 points out of that final playoff spot, so it's they're like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. So you're saying there's a chance. It's going to be very, very difficult, but saying there's a chance. There is a chance. Let's get to scores from around the National Hockey League. Yesterday, it was the Islanders over the Maple Leafs, 5-3. Sabres shutting out the Blue Jackets, 5-0. Senators over the Panthers, 5-1. Canadiens beating the Lightning, 2-1. Penguins topping the Devils, 5-2. The Jets over Greg O'Connor's St. Louis Blues, 3-2 yesterday. Hurricanes getting a win over the Blackhawks, 7-2. Stars on top of the Wild, 5-4. Avs beat the Flames, 3-1. Mammoth getting a win over the Predators, 4-1. The Kraken were released in shootout fashion over the Golden Knights, 4-3. Ducks beat the Sharks, 6-1. And the Kings getting a win over the Knuckleheads, 4-1. So no hockey on the docket for today, and the Wings will get back at it against the Devils tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Puck drops. We'll have that for you here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. And on to... Fine. We'll just get to baseball right now. Stupid Tigers getting swept by the... By the Twins. 4 games in a row for the Tigers against the Twins, all end in a loss. Not cool, guys. Not cool. Here's Dan Dickerson with the recap.
Hi, this is Dane Dickerson. The Minnesota Twins sweep the Detroit Tigers with a 3-1 win on a mostly sunny, cool afternoon in downtown Minneapolis. This is a matchup of Jack Flaherty against Mick Abel. Mick Abel had had zero success in his first two starts this year. Six shutout innings in this game. He was in jams early. He ended up stranding a runner in scoring position in five of his six innings. Tigers put two men out in the first inning, couldn't advance either runner, put two men out in the second inning, again could not advance either runner. They did not score against Abel. Minnesota Twins took a 1-0 lead on a Josh Bell home run off Jack Flaherty. Went 5 2/3, pretty strong innings in this game. One run on five hits with three walks and six strikeouts. The Bell home run gave the Twins a 1-0 lead. They took that into the seventh inning. Tigers broke through for a single run. Hit batter single. Gleyber Torres sacrifice fly off Garrett Acton tied the game at one. Will Vest took them out in a 1-1 game in the bottom of the eighth inning. A walk, a single with two outs, gave up an infield single to Royce Lewis. And then on a 3-2 pitch after getting ahead of Brooks Lee, no balls and two strikes, a fastball. His fastball velocity was down today. Ground ball single into right field, scored two. And then the Twins closed it out in the ninth inning with a 1-2-3 ninth. Eric Orsi getting the save. Tigers get swept in the four-game series, fall to 4-9 through 13 games. The Twins climb above the 500 mark at 7-6. Tigers now go home for six games. Starts with a weekend series with the Miami Marlins. 6:40 start on Friday night for Cater Montero against the ex-Tiger Chris Paddock. We'll be on the air starting at 6:15 on the Detroit Tigers Radio Network.
Yeah, and we'll have that contest for you. Down the hall to the left, Fox Sports, 101.9 FM, 6:15 for the broadcast for the Tigers. Okay, let's. Experts who put together the sports books, they still say the Tigers at -149. Marlins are 1-2 when they're on the road. Tigers are 2-1 when they're at home. Okay. We'll see. I know. I probably sound a little bit excessively bitter this morning. Marlins coming off a win. They beat the Reds yesterday 8-1. It was the A's over the Stankies 1-0. The Diamondbacks beat the Mets 7-1. White Sox shut out the Royals 2-0. And the Padres over the Rockies 7-3 for that final. Jackson College Jets baseball. Yesterday, the Jets, in the friendly confines of the Jackson College campus, they split a doubleheader with Schoolcraft. They won game one, 12-2, dropped game two, 9-5. Jackson College Jets softball, they had their doubleheader at Glen Oaks Community College postponed yesterday. So they're going to be at home tomorrow where they host Kalamazoo Valley Community College, 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock for that scheduled doubleheader. Then they are at Glen Oaks on Sunday for a doubleheader for 1-3 contest. On to high school baseball. Jackson College, Jackson High School yesterday, where the Vikings fell to the Maples of Adrian 11-0. Next up, Lumen Christi. That's on Saturday at 7 o'clock for the Vikings. Northwest Baseball Mounties yesterday, they lost to Harper Creek 12-3 for that final. They play at Swan Valley Varsity Vikings Saturday starting at 10 o'clock. Vandercook Lake on Thursday split with BD. They lost game one, 18-11. They won game two, 10-6. Western Panthers baseball from yesterday split with, we got a tie. What? All right. So they got a win 7-1 and then 1-1 in game two against the Penfield Varsity Panthers. Napoleon Pirates yesterday at Michigan Center. They won 5-1 in game one, then lost game two 5-4. They're off until Monday. Lumen Christi Varsity Titans yesterday softball at Adrian took both contests, 16-0 and then 14-6, as Lumen Christi getting the win. Napoleon Pirates softball yesterday ended up getting, let's see, they lost, they dropped both. Michigan Center getting the win over Napoleon yesterday in both games, 15-5 and 7-1. Michigan Center sweeps Napoleon. Game one, Center rolls that 15-5 win, jumping out early with a huge first inning. Never looking back, Lily Nutt, Nora Fleming, Megan Van Valkenburg all had big days at the plate. Game two, Michigan Center stays in control, 7-1 victory. Pond dominates again, going the distance and allowing just one run on five hits. Columbia Central swept Hudson in softball yesterday. Game one, 10-2. Game two, a little bit tighter of a battle, but still getting a win, 7-3. All right, that's a quick look at your sports.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
At 7:43, and you're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. And it's a pleasure to have back in the studio with us John LaFear from Jackson Speedway. And we're going to be drifting this weekend, are we, John?
Sure are.
Yeah, good to have you back. By the way, happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so...
one day off.
Yeah, it was, you what, 29 again?
Yeah, or is this, yeah. times three.
Well, congratulations and happy birth. Did you have a good celebration, family, friends, all that stuff?
Had a great surprise birthday party last Saturday at Bellows, which I guess Greg was on your show.
Yeah.
Yesterday, the day before.
Yeah, he was on earlier this week.
They surprised me with about 60 of our family and friends. So,
oh, man.
A lot of grandkids running around. So it was a surprise and a great time.
No way. So when you came in, was it full on yelling at the top of their lungs, surprise?
Yeah.
Or they keep,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. That's really good.
Luckily, we went upstairs with that big a group. So we didn't interfere with everybody else.
But yesterday was the actual birthday, right?
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
So a little bit lower key than yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, the celebrations will continue this weekend as you'll be sliding at Jackson Speedway, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Her first big event of the year.
Yeah.
And this Saturday, the Mid-Michigan Drift Club will be there. And they're expecting about 85 drift cars from about six different states. So it's a real big event.
Yeah.
And the weather looks good.
The weather looks great for Saturday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to start us off. And then now they have a second group. Called DDX, which is you can bring your own car, regular car, or pickup truck, and they do a little bit of drifting, a little bit of off-road work, off-road racing, and as we get through the winter, they're going to go year-round.
Okay. Really? Okay.
And they're going to have 4x4s and these off-road vehicles, so that's something brand new. Just we had one test date a few weeks ago, and so this will be the first actual event on Saturday.
Okay.
On Sunday.
Okay.
So we got a full weekend of activity at the track, and it's great. The drifting are tremendous. They put on such a great show, and it's, you know, $10 a person to get in, and kids under 12 are free, so it's a good family event, and they start about 11 o'clock in the morning, and they go till dark.
Okay.
And so it's a full day, and then on Saturday or Sunday, they'll start around the same thing, about 11.
Okay.
And go to about 5.
Gotcha.
So it's very interesting.
$10, that sounds super, in today's day and age, that sounds super affordable.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it does.
And they want it that way. Mm-hmm. The one thing I've learned about racing, whether it's racing or drifting or whatever, everybody wants to perform in front of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes it fun for the drivers. And they actually do the drift group. You can actually, part of their club rules are if you want to do a ride-along, where you ride in the passenger seat, they'll take you for free.
Okay.
And everybody loves that, especially like teenage kids, you know.
Yeah.
And they get a fun ride, that's for sure. And yeah, I'm not brave enough to do it. But
no, anytime I'm doing that, I'm doing it on accident.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it. I'm never doing that on purpose.
Yeah,
never
during a snowstorm.
right, so. For sure. So, all right. For now, you've been drifting. You've been having the drifting cars coming out there at Jackson Speedway for how long now?
This will be the fourth year.
Okay,
and it's grown and grown. They've they've added events. They're doing about I think about 14 events this year.
Okay,
and they're talking about going into the winter too, because sometimes they go up north on Frozen Lake and do it. So they said, well, why go all the way up north? We do it right here.
Well, you're gonna have to plow that thing in the wintertime, aren't you?
Well, they that's okay. I got a tractor. I can plow it.
Yeah. Wow. That's gonna be that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
So yeah.
When you first and we had this conversation last year, when you first decided to bring the drifters to Jackson Speedway, I mean, what was kind of like the thought process there? Were you like 100% on board with it when you made the decision, or was it more, we'll just kind of wait and see how this goes?
Well, it was kind of strange. They came to us and said, you know, could we come out and try drifting here? You know, it was a go-kart track.
Yeah.
It was what it was built for. And, you know, I hardly knew what drifting was, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. But I said, sure. And they said, okay, we'll bring about 20, 25 people out and just do a test. And the main guy, Ray McDivitt, is one of the best drifters in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's like in the top 100, you know, and he keeps two cars in Japan because that's where it all started. And he's got three or four cars here. And so they did it. And I invited some of my friends and some of the race people that I knew to come out and watch it. And it was mesmerizing. I mean, it's the only word you can think of. Because then they have drones that chase the cars.
Okay.
You know, pull right up next to the driver's window, no wave. And, you know, and they did it, you know, and they run the whole show.
Mm.
I mean, their crew, race crew, take care of everything.
Right.
And so it made it a lot easier on us, on our side. And so we immediately made the decision to switch over from these mini sprints and mini cups to the drifters, and haven't looked back. And now they got this new division, and then we also have Great Lakes Supermoto, which are motorcycles.
Okay.
And we built them an off-road course along 127, so they do part cement and part jumps.
Okay.
And these jump so high they probably go 25 feet in the air.
Oh, that's crazy. Again, if that happens to me, I'm doing it on accident.
Yeah,
it's not on purpose, right?
Yeah, me too. And the landing's not going to be real good if I do it.
Right. Oh, man.
So, And so they run their own show too. So it's,
That's all right. That's all right. So what is the turnout like when you have your fans and your customers coming? I mean, are you getting a great turnout for the drifting events?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There'll be probably this weekend, because it's supposed to be nice weather.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably have between 1,000 and 1,500 people.
Oh, wow.
And what makes it great is it's all families.
Right.
Well, not all families, but a lot of families and a lot of teenagers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because
They love it.
They grew up watching drifting in the movies and all that stuff. So they come out, and and they're always fun.
So with it being $10, starts at 11. What time do gates open?
Right at 11.
Right at 11.
Yeah.
Is this kind of like a come and go kind of? Will they be able to leave and come? Because it goes up until dark.
Oh, I mean, no, they can go.
Come and go.
If they want.
Yeah, and they can come in. They don't have to be there right at 11. They can come in at any time, too.
Some people, you know, some people are working, so they get out of work at 4 and they come at 4.
Right.
And they can come and go. We have food trucks there for them.
Gotcha.
Okay. So they don't have to leave for food if they don't want to. But even the drifters, you know, and some of their cars are street legal.
Okay.
They'll go up to get gas.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, So is it kind of like the typical setup where you've got just a variety of heats and then you'll have the feature race later on, or how does that work?
No, and that's what's neat about drifting. Mm-hmm. They actually don't compete against each other.
Oh, no, ever. They don't. Okay. Yeah,
they just go out and have fun.
Oh, interesting. You
know? And on a dry day, and they can use the quarter-mile road course, and that connects up to a quarter-mile oval, and they can use the whole thing. They'll go through three sets of rear tires.
That's not cheap either. No, that's not cheap.
No, these guys all have really good jobs somewhere.
Yeah.
And most of these guys are in their maybe mid-20s to 40, somewhere in there. A few older, a few younger. But they all seem to be engineers or that type of person that does this.
Yeah.
And all of them are the nicest guys in the world. I mean, you just can't. I mean, what's so unique is, you know, I don't care about this. The Indy 500, when I was doing that or running MIS or whatever, is the drivers, once they put on a helmet, they lose their heads. They lose their minds.
Okay.
You know, and they'll, because they're trying to win, you know, they turn into not nice people. You know? So with these guys, because they don't compete, like if one guy breaks down, there's five guys helping them, you know, put his car back together.
Right.
So it really is a fun group to be around.
It's a unique event. If they're there, not they're racing against each other, but if it's not really competing,
right?
It's really kind of a unique event.
Yeah,
you're there to watch the show. You're there to see the cars go sideways.
That's it.
Yeah,
you know.
No, they do that all the way around. Are they like sideways the entire way around the oval?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And they hit the road course too.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
And each year they've made it, some of the turns on the road course a little wider, you know, put more cement down, and they bank it a little bit for the way they drive.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've really been involved. And what's nice is because a lot of them are from out of state.
Right.
You know, they got to stay in hotel rooms here.
Uh-huh.
You know, they got to go to, if they go to dinner, they can go into Bandicoot Lakes and around for the Michigan Center for dinner or breakfast. Ray, the main guy, I bought a big one of these big Blackstone grills, so they do a lot of their own cooking too.
Okay.
So, and they'll feed the whole people, you know.
Oh, okay.
So it's a fun group to be around.
How many drifting events do you have throughout the summer?
We're going to have about 14.
Okay.
And this is the first weekend, and then it goes into, you know, October, depends on the weather. If they see the weather, you know, they'll say, okay, we'll be there, you know.
They'll go on ice, but not in rain.
Yeah. Okay. No, they go in rain, too.
Oh, they go in rain, too? Okay. Yeah. All right.
They go in all kinds of weather.
Gotcha.
In fact, if one day we had snow on the ground, then it warmed up and it rained, and then it dried out.
Oh, they had typical Michigan weather at that point. It's a little bit everything.
Typical Michigan day. They all had so much fun because they got to drive on every type of track, you know.
Okay.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah. And the cars are, they look like a regular car.
Might they're a little more compact, aren't they?
Yeah. Like smaller cars.
Right.
You know, but it might look like a Miata, but it's got a race motor in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got roll bars in it. It's got suspension in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only thing that's Miata is the sheet metal. And same thing, and the Corvettes, you know, that's a popular car. And they just, I mean, basically go out and beat the heck out of them.
It's
what they do.
They gotta have a good paying gig on the side in order to do that, for sure. So,
and they'll go sometimes single cars, sometimes two cars, sometimes three cars, all three together.
Right.
And like I said,
they'll sync up. They'll do it. They'll synchronize. Okay. All right. So again, the first one's this weekend, 11 o'clock on Saturday. Just $10 to get you in.
$10.
Anything we didn't talk about, John LaFleur, that we should have covered here this morning?
Oh, we should have talked about Greg O'Connor. Pick on him.
I haven't talked to Greg in a hot minute. He's doing well.
Yeah.
You see him? Yeah.
You know, we were friends for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we text probably at least once a week.
Oh, good. You okay.
Know, if he sees a news story, he sends it to me.
Yeah.
If I see something, you know, we're kind of a big Michigan fans, so mm-hmm. I just saw they lost in hockey last.
They did lose. Night. Yeah, that was, yeah.
But,
it was, but Monday was great.
Yeah.
Monday was great. I was a little droggy Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, because I spend so much time in Indianapolis,
uh-huh.
you know, my two favorite teams, of course, are IU
wow.
and Michigan.
Well, you had a good year.
Yeah, one wins a basketball championship, one wins a football championship.
Oh, man.
And so a lot of my friends are very happy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, sometimes you have to stay up late for some of those games.
Yeah. Well, my line of work, 9 o'clock, is really late.
I don't know how you do it. Yeah, I could never figure out how Greg did
it. I'm not like Greg. Greg didn't sleep. I can't do that. I need to get mine. So, all right. So, again, that's Saturday.
Saturday.
The drifting starts 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
$10 to get you in at Jackson
yep.
Speedway.
Yep.
Okay. And they can go online. They can get some more information online and whatnot, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. On our website.
Okay.
They can go on our website.
Hmm.
Or Mid-Michigan Drift Club website. So either one.
All right. John, good seeing you again. Again, happy birthday.
Well, thank you again.
This is AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.
16 minutes now after 8 o'clock, and we head to our newsmaker line, and we welcome to the program Sinead Fahey joining us here this morning with Taylorville. Sinead, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Yeah, so far so good. Now tell our listeners, before we do the deep dive here, tell our listeners, what is Taylorville?
So Taylorville is a Taylor Swift tribute band that's going to be playing at Tippett's Opera House tomorrow. And yeah, it's a two-hour show. It's all ages, and it's a lot of fun. If you know any Swifties, they would love this show.
Well, we're talking about Taylor Swift, who has been really on the music scene for, this has got to be like, what, a couple decades at this point. She's got a tremendous amount of music to pick from.
Oh, yeah. Like 12 albums we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. So, all right. So when did you, Sinead, when did you become a Taylor Swift fan? And when did you decide to kind of take that fandom and flip it into this career?
So I've been a fan since being a teenager. So she's about a year and a half older than me. So when her debut album came out, I was like just going into high school and really into writing songs myself. So my sister was like, you got to check this girl out. And I did. And I've been a fan ever since. But turning it into, I guess, my career didn't happen until about two and a half years ago now, when I was playing, well, singing at a blues jam in St. Louis, and the sound guy happened to also be a bass player who was part of a group that was getting together to make this tribute band, and they were just looking for a Taylor, and he approached me after, like, I sang, like, Valerie. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, not even Taylor Swift I was singing, but he approached me afterwards and was like, hey, have you ever thought of being in a Taylor Swift tribute? And I'm like, no, but I'm interested. I love her stuff. And so I went and auditioned, and we've been doing this ever since.
All right. Do you have, I'm going to pun it here, do you have an era of Taylor Swift that you like a little bit more than another?
I'm a huge Folklore fan.
Okay.
That album got me through 2020.
Okay. Yeah. Well, 2020 was a tough year for a lot of people. Yeah.
It
so,
sure was.
Yeah.
That album is very, very special to me for that reason.
What's your favorite part from that? What's your favorite selection from that one?
From that album?
Yeah.
She has a song called Seven.
Yeah.
Which is from the perspective of a child talking to her best friend. And it doesn't directly talk about the things that her best friend is going through in their home, but it hints at it in a way a child would who doesn't know stuff, you know? Yeah. Think of like Forrest Gump and Jenny when they were kids.
Yeah.
So people think of Taylor Swift as always writing these breakup songs and stuff, but uh-huh. she's got so much more to her catalog than that and really deep stuff. And this song particularly is just, it's so sad and so beautiful.
Yeah.
And the melody is really haunting. Like, I really recommend Seven from Folklore.
So it's going to be at Tibbetts, which is in Coldwater here in Michigan, right? So that's the show's tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell our listeners how they get tickets, or how can they get to see the Taylorville production?
Yeah, so you can get tickets at either Tibbetts Opera House website, or you can get it from TaylorvilleBands.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still a few left. And the production you can expect is going to be as big of a production as we can do at a place like that. You know what I'm saying? We've got a lot of lights. We've got a lot of bells and whistles, and a lot of costumes, all of the eras, and we're really excited for this show.
That was it. On her Eras tour, it seemed like, and I didn't see it. I didn't go to see it, but from what I understand, high production and a lot of costume changes, and you do the best that you, sounds like you do the best that you can to replicate that.
Yeah, at this level, we, you know, like, we don't have like stadium level budget, obviously.
Well, no. I'm sure you don't have the LED stage either, but yeah.
Yeah, but we have invested a lot into this show, uh-huh. and we're very proud of that. And people who come to see it, we often get told a lot, like, it brought them back to the Eras Tour if they've seen it, or it helps them feel like they were there if they never got to go.
What's the audience like? Because Taylor Swift, even though, in my opinion, she's still considered a very young performer, but she's been doing it for such a long time. She has an audience base that spans at least a couple generations at this point. So those who are coming to Taylorville, what's that audience makeup like? Are you seeing young and older at your shows?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen anyone from like newborn to like up into their 60s. So it's a wide range, but typically you're going to see a lot of girls and their moms. Mm-hmm. It's a great outing for like a mommy daughter day, or like birthday parties or bachelorette parties we've had, mm-hmm. you know, like it's a wide range.
What's your favorite part of the
My
performance?
Favorite part of the
yeah.
show?
Mm-hmm.
I think the theatrics of it, like it feels a lot like a one woman show. Cause of course, like I'm putting on a character, like, I'm not myself when I'm performing as Taylor, so it really does feel like theater. So I think it's fitting when we do theater shows.
Sinead Fahey, who performs as Taylor Swift, part of Taylorville, which is going to be in Coldwater coming up this weekend. Again, you can get tickets at the tidbits.org. Sinead, how do you select, again, a large volume of work here, how do you select what's going to be in the show?
Well, we use the Eras Tour as a guide. And then from there, since we can't do the full over 3 hour show that she did, that's mm-hmm. just not something a lot of people are going to have too much time for on, you know, the right. full weekend. But we try to get all the hits in. We try to keep it as high energy as possible while also putting in a couple of deep cuts and getting a couple of ballads in there. And it's not always the same song.
Mm-hmm.
We have like a good base of the same songs, and then we'll switch things around, switch it up, because we do have some people who've seen us a few times at this point, and we want to make something new for them.
Okay. So again, it's happening this weekend. When it comes to the Taylor Swift selection, you know, when she first hit, she was, you would consider, you would, because she was all over country music when she first hit, and then from there she bled over to the hit side and to the pop side, and you look at where she is now, I mean, you can definitely see the transition from when she started to where she is now. She's one that's really, she's changed a lot in her couple decades in front of the microphone. There's definitely some growth in there. Does that become represented in the show?
Absolutely, because we do every era. So, like on the Eras Tour, she didn't necessarily have debut on there. Like, mm-hmm. she would maybe do debut songs in her surprise sets, but we always try to, like, include that early stuff in there. So debut, Fearless, a little bit of Speak Now. And that's some of my favorite stuff to do because of, as we talked about earlier, that was when I first discovered her. So.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Is there a traveling Travis Kelce that comes along with the show, too?
No, we don't have one of those.
Yet.
Yes. Not yet.
Okay. What didn't I ask you that our listeners need to know about as we're talking with Sinead Fahey, who performs as Taylor Swift, part of Taylorville, going to be at Tidbits Opera House in Coldwater this weekend. What didn't I ask you that our listeners need to know about?
About me?
Or about you, about the show. Is there anything left untouched here that our listeners need to know?
I would say it's important and fun to do so, to dress up.
Oh.
Pick an era, wear glitter, bring friendship bracelet. There's going to be a lot of trading bracelets. We do a free meet and greet afterwards as well. So there's a photo op.
Okay.
So, yeah, get in character as well.
All right. Yeah, and you know, once one concert has glitter, they all have glitter. So
there
show
we go.
Up in glitter. All right. Very good. Well, Sinead, thank you so much for the time this morning. I appreciate your flexibility. Thank you so much for rescheduling. And hope you guys have a tremendous success in Coldwater this weekend.
Thank you so much.
All right.
You have
a, yeah, you have a great day. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM 101.5 FM.
You're listening to the AM Jackson podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Hey, it's good to have you back here. Now, it sounds like you're on you're in your mobile office this morning.
I am in my mobile office. I think a lot of these Fridays in the near future, I'll be in my mobile office.
Okay.
Making deliveries. We did post out there this week. We're looking for a part-time route driver, if somebody's listening that may be interested in 2 days a week, maybe 3 days a week of delivering bait.
Yeah.
There's a possibility out there.
Well, you're getting into the busy season for Knudsen's, and you know, you're looking for the drivers, and I saw on Facebook you're still looking for people in the bait room. You're looking for people to help in the store. I mean, there's opportunities at Knudsen's right now.
Absolutely. It's that time of year.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tom, let's talk a little bit about what we can expect. We've got warmer temperatures rolling in. We've had a lot of rain rolling in. How is that impacting our fishing locally here, Tom?
Well, I think we're going to, I mean, the fishing here locally is kind of non-existent because nobody's going because of the weather.
Mm.
The weather just has not been our friend in any way, shape, or form. There are people who are doing it, and they're getting out there grumbling, but, you know, We're all anxious, you know. I mean, especially those people who went on a vacation to the south and sucked up some heat, and then they come back to this, which is entirely normal.
Right. Yeah.
At that point, it's entirely normal. So I think everybody's waiting this nice little. What we're going to get close to 80 on Sunday, the way it looks, after a 50 degree tomorrow, and then we're going to have. I know there's going to be rain involved, you know, somewhere along the way, and. We got Monday and Tuesday back in the 70s and a couple days of 60s before we start tapping into some 50s,
yeah.
You know, with the forecast the way it looks. But, you know, hopefully we're getting out of the 20s at night and rolling more with a more common spring temperature.
Right. Now, with the rains coming in, and is that warming up the waters, or do we need to pretty much depend on the temperatures to do that? What's happening with the temperatures to get the fish active?
Has anybody been outside and had that rain fall on them? That is not a southern warm rain.
Okay. I've been avoiding it like
week,
the plague.
Last week, during the middle of the night, we did have a warm rain.
Yeah.
Anybody who was paying attention, who when they got up in the morning and walked outside, said, "Ooh, it's kind of muggy and kind of warm." And they would have looked on the ground. They would have said, "Yeah, it was definitely a warm rain because the ground was covered in worms." So that was a good thing. There's almost too much water in some spots, but we're getting there.
Okay. All right. And you know, another thing I wanted to ask you, Tom, is, you know, where I live, it gets really windy. I don't have a whole lot of protection in front of our house, so you can just kind of feel it. And when you look out over the water, you see like those little, the amount of the size of the white caps that our lakes get are a lot different than what you're going to see out on Lake Erie. But still, the water's moving. You're seeing white on top of the water. In some areas, you're seeing the foam along the shorelines. But the water's getting turned up right now. Is that a factor, early spring fishing, or not really?
Well, not until we get some more heat in the water.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess that the water from top to bottom is fairly close, from, you know, within a degree or two between top to bottom.
Okay.
So we're not in an issue at the moment. You know, when we get those turnovers and stuff like that will happen when we get a big warm up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll differentiate, you know, 8 to 9, 10 degrees difference between top water versus bottom water. And then when you get that water stirring, that's when you'll get those turnover situations.
Okay. All right. But with the weather, it's keeping people off the water right now. But, I mean, tomorrow's supposed to be, I mean, it's not going to be tremendously warm, but it's going to be sunny. Winds are going to be down. It's going to be pretty decent tomorrow. So tomorrow's like the best day in a while to get out on the water, Tom.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a nice day tomorrow. Just not going to be what it's going to be on Sunday. And I know how people right. are. So they're going to rush around. Hopefully they're going to get their stuff done tomorrow when it's cool, cooler, get some stuff prepped. And then, you know, it's going to be Sunday. Nobody wants to work on a Sunday. You know, Sunday's all about play.
Yeah.
You don't need to work on your yard on Sunday. Go fishing.
Right. And get out to Knudsen's. Get the spools off your poles. Get out to Knudsen's. Get them lined for you and get ready. If you haven't done that yet, now's the time to get ready for when the weather is perfect, you can hit the water.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely, Mark.
How are things looking out on Lake Erie right now, Tom?
Well, I will have a better idea, but for the last week, not great.
Okay.
Again, the water's been the issue, winds. But I would say starting this weekend, but it's going to be more. Let me put it to you this way. I see that they're doing very well in Ohio waters down by the islands. By Put Bay and Kelly's Island, I'm seeing some phenomenal catches. But I think it's pretty miserable out there doing it. It's cold and it's windy.
Okay.
But I'm seeing some pretty big catches coming out of that area. Okay. Not hearing much out here in Michigan yet, which is not uncommon. That doesn't usually really kick in on Erie until the spawn is over on the Maumee and the Detroit River.
Gotcha.
So Detroit River, my guess is Sunday you'll probably be able to walk across the river. Because everybody's anxious to get those walleye moving and rolling. And with that temperatures that are coming on Sunday, I think you're going to see a lot of people running down there to see if the fish are ready.
All right.
The biggest problem we'll have is going to be, because of all the rain, is going to be that water is not going to be clear and it's going to be really muddy.
Okay. And for the mental image that you painted for our listeners, when you say walk across the water, you mean it's going to be it's going to be crowded out there.
Boat to boat to boat to boat.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to bet that, you know, if there's a sporting event in Detroit on Sunday, somebody will fly the helicopter or whatever and do the top shot, and they'll show the river, and it'll be covered in boats.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. That means it's, you know, finally the fish are getting active. Mm-hmm. So,
all right.
So it's, but again, the muddy water could be an issue. As far as getting the you know, guys are used to going down there and just getting tons and tons and tons of fish.
Yeah.
This could be a little bit slower this year because of that muddy water at the moment.
Gotcha. All right. We're just over a week away from turkey hunting taking hold here in Jackson, aren't we?
Absolutely. A week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow.
I keep saying Monday because it's always used to be on Monday.
Yeah.
No, it's a week from tomorrow. We open up on turkey down here. So we're getting close. We're getting close. And those turkeys, I hear it all over the place. People are seeing them everywhere. So,
okay.
Which is normal. And, you know, they're out strutting and doing their thing. And, a week from tomorrow starts the 2026 turkey season.
So wait a minute. The state thinks it's a good idea for turkey to open on a weekend?
Well, it used to open on a Monday.
I know, but that works for one hunting season. Why not another, Tom?
Mark, I was ecstatic. I was ecstatic when we pulled that one off.
Yep.
I don't know how they can figure it out, Mark. It's opening. On a different day than a specific day.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how deer hunters would ever figure out that it'd be the second or third or whatever. I don't know how you'd figure that out, Mark.
I knew that would be a triggering question for you, Tom. That's why I'm laughing.
All right. They're up in Lansing. They're trying to change all the rules again. So who knows what deer hunting is going to be like next year? You know, you're going to have to have a rule book 6 inches thick figure out which deer you can take or not.
Well, let's worry about deer hunting once we get closer to it.
Yep,
as far as turkey hunting goes, you've got the ammo, you've got the decoys, you've got the calls, you've got everything that the turkey hunters, no matter where they're at in their turkey hunting experience, whether they're new or they're seasoned, you've got everything they need.
Oh, absolutely. We got turkey decoys from all different makers, even brought in the elite turkey decoy made by David Smith. Those decoys are super, super high definition, super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But we brought them in. You know, they're here for people to look at and purchase. So we got turkey decoys. We got calls of all makes and models, and we're up and loaded, and the ammo's sitting good. So we're here.
Yeah, it surprises me that how smart the birds get come next week, Tom, because they're like everywhere. You see them everywhere right now. The guys are trying to date the ladies, and once turkey season hits, I mean, they're still there, but they don't come out of the woods as easily as they are right now. They get a little smarter.
Well, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the day.
Okay.
Some days those things are the toughest things, and you can't predict them, and then there are other days where it's stupid easy and you're done in just a few minutes. So it all depends on your homework is what it really is. And that's and figuring out their habits, and you know, habits because of wind and habits because of neighbors' pressure, and you know, but the people or the hunters in Michigan have gotten much better at it for sure.
Okay.
Compared to where when we first started turkey seasons here. We were way behind the southern states because they'd had it so much longer than we have. But they're getting better at it. And I think right now, mm-hmm. what I'm understanding and reading, there's some issues with some of the flocks down in the south, because you can take two birds down there in different situations.
Okay.
I think that right now Michigan probably has some of the best turkey hunting in the country right now.
Well, it feels like around here, and I've lived and worked in Jackson for 20 years now, but I don't remember ever in anywhere else in the state seeing the number of turkey that I see here in Jackson. Or maybe it's just the perspective because of where I live and work, but it just feels like the population is thicker here in Jackson.
I know that it seems thick here, and they are. I mean, they're like deer. You know, there's just everywhere you look, there's turkey. I don't know if we're above average in the area versus the rest of the state, but turkeys are everywhere. I know that used to be over on the west side of the state, there was areas that were just that heavy. I haven't heard how strong they are. My brother-in-law's area was always heavy with birds. We didn't have near the birds they'd had.
Yeah.
But now I think we rival just about anybody in the state as far as the number of birds. And we've got the right habitat for them.
Tom Knutson joining us as the Knutson's Outdoor Report. And Tom, before we move away from turkey, my first introduction to the season is when, you know, my first time around here at the station must have been year one, year two, somewhere in there, year three. I was working the Saturday morning show here on News Talk 970. Jamie was nowhere to be seen, and his sports show was supposed to start in like 10 minutes, right? Or his outdoor show on the sports station. Next thing I know, he's knocking on the window in the newsroom saying, "Hey, come here, I want to show you." And like 5 minutes before he's going on the air, he's bringing me out to his truck to show the turkey that he just bagged that Saturday morning. And then he runs right into his show in full camo gear and everything to do the outdoor show. I think you had a conversation with him that day too, but it was
absolutely.
Yeah.
He never let a minute go by if he wasn't out in the woods, waterways, whatever. He did not. I mean, when he could squeeze a minute in,
he did.
I just, he did it. I mean, you know, all the way to the to the very end, and I would just look at him and go, dude.
I know.
I mean, you how are you fitting all this in? You know, the next thing I know, I see pictures of him doing, you know, a big salmon trip, and I said, I just talked to him like 3 hours ago.
Right.
And, you know, the next thing I know, he would take that, within that 3 hours, he makes his way over to Lake Michigan in the spring, because this was one of his favorite times of year to do the fishing out of St. Joe's with the boat that he had before he'd take it up north to catch the salmon in the fall. I mean, he never, a minute or a season did not go by without him being out in the outdoors. I mean, he loved the outdoors.
His show was Saturday at 9, the Jamie McKibben Outdoors. It was Saturday at 9, and I lost count of how many times, whether it was turkey season or spring fishing or whatever. I mean, he's out here somewhere close, and all of a sudden, you know, 5 minutes before he goes on the air, he comes running in to do his show because he was taking advantage of every minute outside. So
absolutely. But, he always did. And Walker was just getting to that point, you know,
right.
when all that happened. But yeah, miss those conversations for sure.
Yeah, I know you do, but we all do. But all right, Tom, let's talk a little bit about the boating season, because the dock pieces, parts, now's the time you're starting to see those structures go out on the lake. And whether you do it yourself or you hire someone to do it, there's opportunities right now. You know what you had last year, and now you want to improve it this year. You've got the dock pieces, parts to do that at Knudsen's.
Yeah, absolutely. And we never usually have this problem, but I'm going to make this statement. There's going to be another fairly extreme price increase on dock itself.
Okay.
Around the first part of May. So I am making the statement that if you are in the market for dock itself, I suggest getting out there and making a purchase before the first part of May, because aluminum has just skyrocketed again.
Oh, wow.
I don't believe it has anything to do with, from what I understand, it really doesn't have anything to do with the stuff going on in the Middle East. It was going to be a problem to begin with. It's about production and the tariffs. And it sounds like there's going to be one or two more facilities coming online producing aluminum that's used, the type of aluminum that's used in the docks, but they won't be in production until next year. So they won't stabilize or bring the prices down until sometime next year.
All right. Gotcha. So make sure that you, so what you're suggesting is get your docks, your pieces, and your parts, get them before May 1st hits. Is that what you're suggesting, Tom?
Well, the pieces and parts, we're going to be all set. That's steel. Okay. Those prices aren't going to go up. It's that the physical dock themselves.
Gotcha.
You know, 3x10s, 4x10s, that's where the problem is. It's the aluminum that's associated with those.
Gotcha. All right. Tom Knutson joining us here with the Knutson's Outdoor Report. Tom, anything left untouched that we should be talking about here this morning that we didn't get to?
No, I think we got it covered, Mark. Everybody get your stuff done tomorrow and go fishing on Sunday.
All right, Tom. As always, we appreciate the visit, and we'll talk with you again here real soon, all right?
We'll talk soon, Mark. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Yeah, you as well. Tom Knutson joining us. You're listening to AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. It is 8:51.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
9:34, 26 minutes now in front of 10 o'clock. So we had like a little scheduling hiccup today, so I ended up having this section open. John LaFleur was supposed to be here, but he came in at like 7:40 this morning, which is great because Kathy was down in Florida, so we had that opportunity open. We took advantage of it. And I'm like pacing the hallways. I'm like, I haven't talked with Dennis in a while. So I went over. I politely interrupted the conversation, the high-level conversation he was having. Interrupted him, you know, and all the other board members had to step out of the room. And we were able to persuade Dennis to come in here and talk with us this morning. How you doing, Dennis?
You just want the GM of the stations on for some reason. Okay, let's do this. I'm all aboard.
Oh, man. Good to have you here. And we've got a big event coming up. We've got our job fair happening on the 23rd, which, you know, you're... you're the person that's part of the interview process when people come through the doors here. So let's kind of talk about hiring people in the job fair.
Yeah, this is the second year that we've done this. Mm-hmm. We partnered with the Commonwealth Commerce Center. We did this last year. We kind of started a new job fair event, mm-hmm. that we felt like was needed in our community, and we had such a great turnout, and it was such a success last year, mm-hmm. that we decided to bring it back for year two. And so far, so good. You know, we've, mm-hmm. got probably at least 20, if not 30, different businesses that are going to be
It's a long involved. List.
Yeah. Yeah. There's still more to come. I think there's still more trickling in.
Okay.
Over these next 10 days or so. And that's really positive. Employment is something that's still, obviously people are still looking for workers. That was a big thing around COVID time. And, people were having a hard time finding good quality workers. And that we really felt like this job fair was an opportunity to connect job seekers with job people looking for, employment. Mm-hmm. So we're, connecting those dots together. It seemed to work for some, maybe some it didn't last year, but we're pleased to bring it back again. And April 23rd, I think it's like noon to 3, something like that,
yeah.
In the afternoon. And if people can get out to the Commonwealth Commerce Center downtown and make a day of it, maybe you can get a job.
It's always good just to kind of keep your options open. Always, when you're even if you're gainfully employed right now, just to have those, mm-hmm. just to have those avenues open and available to you, it doesn't hurt to look.
Yeah.
I mean, well, man, look at your situation. What is it, 6 years ago? Do you think you'd still be, you were still neck deep in NASCAR. Unemployed.
Yeah.
You know? Did you ever think you'd be here,
right.
6, 7 years ago?
And that's right. And
you know?
And you don't know in the employment world what's going to happen. You know, I spent 16 and a half years in NASCAR. I was laid off during the pandemic. You know, a lot of people got cut because of ticket sales and that was unfortunate. And I felt really bad about it at the time. But then, mm-hmm. I realized that there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of jobs out there, and I was able to secure this job and move back to Michigan, and I've been here for the last 5+ years. So you just don't know what's going to happen in life, and you just have to kind of put some faith into something that you're going to be okay. And if you don't, if you currently have a job and you're looking for something different because maybe you're unhappy, there's just a lot of opportunity out there right now. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed it just driving around Jackson a lot. There's still a lot of help wanted signs and different
for sure.
doors and people are looking for good quality employees these days, and I think this is an opportunity to do that. We, as McKibben Media Group, we're trying to connect dots a lot, mm-hmm. and that's why we do events. We're doing a skate party as well at All Skate, May 3rd. We're doing these job fairs. We did the wedding event in February. We obviously have the Chili Festival. Fall Festival, Chili Classic, in September. We're trying to do, events that make sense. You know,
right.
we're just not throwing a bunch of stuff out there. We're trying to be selective in what we do as a business and how we can use the radio stations and our digital marketing arm and all those things to promote these events and to help the community as much as possible. That's why we're here. We're good local community stewards, and this job fair is just one thing closer to that goal. So
one of the things we talk about a lot here, and you see it because we have a lot of business leaders here, we've got a lot of politicians here, a lot of people who have had and continue to have successful careers, and the thing that is reoccurring, without a doubt, the common thread amongst all of that is about building relationships. Mm-hmm. And you can do that with the job fair. Even if you're not looking right now, it's always great to build those relationships. But Dennis, speak to the relationships that we have to some of these businesses in town, especially with our partners on this job fair. I mean, we are working alongside U.S. Staffing, AirTech, True Community Credit Union, American One Credit Union. They've yeah. all are major sponsors, major partners with us. Mm-hmm. And it's all about building and maintaining and using those relationships to be successful in our area.
Right. And I agree. And that's what we do. That mm-hmm. we're a relationship business. And we, we're a little different as a radio group and digital group because we connect the dots for a lot of different businesses. We deal with all businesses. Mm-hmm. Certain businesses have niches that they deal out with, but radio stations and media groups deal with everybody. So we kind of can see over time, you know, how things are going in the economy. We get a lot of stories from a lot of different business types of how things are going and how their business is going and how they're, you know, and so, you know, for us to take that information back to the office and go, okay, maybe we can create something like the job fair that can help, you know, these multiple businesses to try and get employment because that's such a concern of theirs. It's some, and I think it's better to do it that way sometimes, honestly, than running maybe a commercial schedule for a few weeks for yourself only. I mean, this is a job fair that benefits multiple businesses, and it did bring in a lot of people last year. I was I didn't know what to expect last year, and I was pleasantly surprised to see the amount of job seekers that did come to this event last year. And the great thing about having the stations is we can promote it over the airwaves and people listen, and we can obviously market it through digital platforms and through streams and all these other things. And so it gets in front of a lot of people, and we're able to drive a lot of that to the help these businesses out as much as we can. And that is what it's about. It's about relationships, and it's about, that's what we do is we try to say, okay, what do you need and how can we help you? And that's where the relationships are. And we appreciate all of them that we have, all the sponsors you just listed, all the people participating. You know, I think we're partnering with maybe Marino's Pizza for lunch and trying to do types of partnerships. Yeah.
See, I wasn't planning on going, but now that you mentioned free pizza.
Yeah. We just try to work with people. I mean, that's not a done deal yet, but we're going to work on it. And it's about trying to find the right partnerships to try and make this thing work. And it does work. And we're very fortunate that we're able to create events for you know, our community that people enjoy. You know, the skate party, like I mentioned, you know, that's a kids thing. We're inviting the first 200 kids to just show up, get in for free. And you know,
when is the skate party?
I think it's May 3rd.
Okay.
I don't have that on my
pocket calendar. Yeah. So
it's coming up.
Okay.
It's at Allskate, right. And it's in the afternoon. You know, we usually do it in the afternoon, and we'll get more details out on that too. So we're doing a lot of these great things for the community, and that's why we're here, and that's what we enjoy doing.
All right. So again, the job fair coming up on the 23rd runs from noon till 3. I'm assuming it's in the main ballroom.
The one downstairs on the main floor, if that's the main ballroom.
Isn't Jennifer at Commonwealth Commerce Center, isn't she one of your favorite people on the planet?
She's wonderful.
She's so awesome to work with. She really is.
Yeah, she's really good energy. They've done a lot of great things with that building. I know they've had new ownership over the last couple of years here, and I feel like they've done some really good things with that building. And A lot of nice little gems here in the Jackson community.
For sure.
That's one of them.
So the very first, I don't know if you're aware, I used to DJ weddings.
A long time ago.
My first gig at the Commonwealth Commerce Center in that ballroom, and this was like the first event I ever did in Jackson, right? The first wedding I ever DJed. That was the year a tornado rolled through Jackson.
Oh, wow.
And we had to stop because you're there, you're surrounded by windows.
Right.
We had to stop everything we were doing. The wedding party, everybody went downstairs for a period of time until those sirens started going off.
Wow.
That was my first introduction to the Commonwealth Commerce Center.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I remember a wedding that you DJ'd at MIS.
Oh, that was fun.
And I remember that there was a snowstorm that happened that night, and we got like about 8 inches of snow overnight that night. And I remember someone was standing by you because I was there, and we were all like, man, we're the last ones to leave. We better get the heck out of here before it gets too bad, because they don't plow the infield of the racetrack in the off season. So that was very adventurous in 2010. So I do remember that.
All right. Anyway, coming up on the 23rd, it's from noon until 3. It's at the American One. I'm sorry. It's at the Commonwealth Commerce Center. American One Credit Union is part of the event, along with True Community Credit Union. We've got a whole list of others. Full details online at WKHM.com. Dennis, man, we appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.